the whole church tonight and say, what would you like God to do for you? Wonder what your request would be. If I was to tell you that you could pray anything and God would give it to you, what would you pray and ask for? Now think about that a moment. We'll come back to that. Look, if you would, in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and continued in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do so, do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now going back up in chapter 14, he promises, he's fixing to leave. He's leaving with his disciples, and they're walking over toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And he stops and he shares this about the vine. Then in chapter 17 is when he's praying, and we get to see things in which was upon the heart of our Savior when he was praying, when we read chapter 17. Some people call Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer, but in all honesty, it's a pattern of prayer for us. The Lord's Prayer was in chapter 17 here in John. But now notice, if you would, in verse number 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, tonight, I want to get focused in just a moment upon fruit. I've heard people say, well, this fruit is souls that we win. But I want you to look and I want you to understand the fruit tonight. Now, I think one of the products of the fruit is souls being won. But I want to show you a truth if I can. Turn, if you would, back to chapter 7 of Matthew and keep your finger in John, and we're going to come back. Jesus in chapter 7, in verse number 15, says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Ye shall know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good what? Fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth what? Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth what? Now think about that a moment. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now notice the next three verses. I don't think they're there by mistake. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, now notice that little phrase many, that word many, will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have you ever noticed how many people claims to have the gifts of prophecy?
They claim to know revelations that nobody else knows, claims to have a special relationship with God. As a matter of fact, some of these TV evangelists, I've watched them, and they claim that they speak God. When they say something, it's as God is saying it. I'm not talking about when they're preaching the word. I'm talking about when they're speaking things that's not in the word. You go jump over from those into the Roman Catholic, and you have the vicar of Christ. Supposed to be the substitute of Christ. They claim that his words has as much authority as the word of God. In other words, they place him in a position of being Jesus' substitute until Jesus comes back to the earth. That's blaspheming. He doesn't speak the word of God. He has no special revelation. And so notice, if you would, in verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name have done many wonderful works. In other words, be miracle workers. Casting out devils, prophesying. Sound familiar? Look in verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, let's go back over to John just a moment and get on this thought. How do we tell the difference between the false ones and the real ones? How did the Bible, how did Jesus say we can tell the difference? Fruits. He said a good tree can't bring evil fruit. Does that mean that someone who is saved can't ever do anything that's bad? Well, we know better than that. We know there's times that the flesh intervenes. Well, what does it mean that someone who is, if fruits is souls that are saved, then does that mean people that don't win souls isn't saved and people that does are saved? I don't think it means that either. Let's look back in John and let's just think a little bit and look at a couple things and kind of go over it. Now, you remember that abiding in Christ basically gives you the situation where you stay in constant relationship with Christ. When you break that relationship with Christ as a Christian, you lose fellowship, you lose a lot of things that you have, you lose your reward, different things that you could earn during that time. Let's look back a little bit and see if we can figure out what Jesus is talking about over here when he said that if you abide, you bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. Now let's see a little bit about that and try to figure out if we can reason some things out. First of all, notice if you would in verse 4 and 5. In verse 4, three times he uses that word abide, that we are to abide in him. Now, the difference between chapter 14 and chapter 15 is this. He talks about me, me, me in chapter 14, lets us know about Christ. And if you look over there at many places, he reminds us that that we are to abide in him. If you look in verse 1, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in what? Me. Look in verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by what? Me. Verse 7, if ye had known me. Verse number 9, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And look on. And we could go on and on and on in that. But when you get in chapter 15, he starts talking about ye. Look if you would in verse 3. Now ye are clean. Look if you would as well. On down in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear fruit. Now I understand he's talking about me as well. We can do nothing without him. And so we know that, and we'll get on that in just a moment. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse number 14. We go on down. ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, we could go on to each one of those. Now, notice here that as we get into chapter 15, he's talking about that we are to be in Christ. The only one that can put us in Christ is the Holy Spirit when we are born again. So let me say this. You can't abide in Christ unless you've ever been born into Christ. The trouble that you've got so many going on and they think their good works are gaining them favor with God, and they're going to stand before God one of these days, be cast into hell because they were counting on their good works, and they skipped the most important fact that you've got to be put by the Holy Ghost of God in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God will be put in you. And so that happens when we are born again. Also, the Bible says that the Father purges all of us. Every one of us who are part of the branches. And by the way, the branch has nothing without the vine. You would agree with that, right? I started to break off one of my grape branches today and bring with me just as an illustration, because the vine, without it, the branch can do nothing. And the trouble that we have is we have people who are who claims to be branches that are not attached to the vine, and everything they're doing out here, their fruits are evil. And the reason why they're evil is because they're not attached to the vine. Now, and by the way, you say, how do you know that? Because some of the things that some of these characters are doing, if they were real men of God and saved, God would clip their wings. He would chasten them. He would purge them. He purges everyone. He takes care of the vineyard. Jesus being true vine, he knows when to cut. He knows when to trim back. He knows things that hinders your growth. He knows things that hinders your fruit. And he's able to do that through different methods, including chastisement. To every son he loveth, he chasteneth. And so therefore we have that. Now, so what we need to understand is that he wants us to abide in him, but we have to be saved to do that. Now, the third thing is abiding in Christ is our responsibility to stay connected with Christ. To be in him is the Holy Spirit, but to abide in him lays upon us. Now, as we abide in him, there's certain things that will happen. When we abide in him, what will happen is we abide in the fact, and by the way, people who has no confidence in their salvation can never enjoy Jesus' blessings. The fruit of the Spirit is ninefold, giving you peace, joy, love, all those things. You know those things that's listed. We're going to look at them in a minute. Think about this a minute. When you are struggling with your salvation, it keeps you tore up. You have no peace. Now, to be abiding Christ is to abide in his perfect sacrifice. To be completely confident in what he has done upon the cross of Calvary. I'm accepted by God because of him. Not because of me, because of him. I don't have confidence in my salvation because of me. I have confidence in my salvation because of him. He is the one that I abide in. I abide in Christ Jesus through his perfect sacrifice, through his blood. That's where I get. And so therefore, what we have is when we turn our eye on ourselves instead of him. And in John chapter 6, looking back in a moment, in verse number 56, he said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth what? In me, John 6:56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And so what we do is our confidence is in Jesus. Would you agree with that? Any of you who claim to be saved, if you're thinking you're the one that got it done, you're missing the boat. Remember one, Paul lists some things in Philippians chapter 3. The first thing, we have no confidence in the flesh. And so therefore we don't. When we abide in him, we maintain a spirit of dependency. Would you agree with me that unless it was for Jesus, you would be helpless? Let me ask you this. What can you do without Jesus? There's not a one of you can do anything to glorify God without Jesus. There's not a one. Listen, I can't preach. Eric can't preach. You can't witness and win nobody to the Lord without the Lord. You can't gain one thing to the Lord. You can't bring one person closer to God unless God's in it. And so the second thing, first of all, we have to have full confidence in Jesus, in his shed blood, in his sacrifice, in his appeasement to the Father. We have to have full confidence. Second thing is, we have to have no confidence in us, and we have to agree with verse 5, without him, we can do nothing. Zilch. Nothing. Number 3, and by the way, I've seen some people that got too big for the britches. And when they got too big for the britches, they began to try to do it in their own power, their own might. You never get too big, or you never get over the fact that you're nothing without him and you can do nothing without him. The third thing is, when we abide in him, is the fact that we have to draw from his fullness. We have to draw from himself. We turn ourselves away from. I look at myself. Brother Junior, I guess you do the same thing. I look at myself inside of God, and I get disappointed. But I look at him, and I need what he's got. He don't need what I've got. I need what he's got. Now, notice if you would, back in your Bibles, that the branch can't do anything without the flowing from the vine. The branch does not produce fruit by itself. I read somewhere in looking at this, and I was reading some commentaries, and someone said this: he's the vine that makes the branches, and we're the branches that makes the fruit. But that's not true. We don't make the fruit, we bear fruit. There's a difference. The fruit still comes from the life-giving source of the vine. So when we think about that just a moment, we realize that as in Matthew chapter 7, there's a whole lot of people. Somebody said a while back, said, boy, you pick on the TV evangelist lot. Most of them, I believe, are nothing but con men. I'm not speaking for 100% of them. I don't know some of them. But the ones that I've seen, I mean, they're full of gimmicks and cons and all that. And you look, and I was watching this one. And some guy, he was an actor that he had paid to come in. And this one happened to be over in Africa. Man, he had thousands of people in that stadium. And every week he does a miracle and he does this and he has them all hyped up. And so this guy was supposed to come in and tell this story and tell that he never met the evangelist. But he come in and he told the truth. They drug him out. But he was telling the truth. He said, yeah, I met you. I met you just a little while ago, and you told me to tell this, and you told me to do this. and that TV evangelist. And you know what? Those people still stayed there and worshiped the TV evangelist. Most of the ones, even in America, has been shown to be frauds. You say, well, why do they have such followings? That is their fruits. That's not God's fruits. Somebody said, well, they must be God. Look, they fill the stadiums up. But they're filling them up with their fruits. You ought to know. You ought to be able to discern the difference between good fruit and bad fruit. Now, what is fruit? If it's not just souls that's won, what is fruit? Well, look, if you would, back in Matthew chapter 15. And notice, if you would, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, there's a lot of people that will take this, and they will try to take it to a conclusion that all you have to do is work yourself up and get in the right position with God, and anything you ask him, he's going to do. A lot of these miracle workers act like they can talk to the wind, and they can talk to demons, and they can talk to, and they'll just obey whatever they say. They can talk to death, they can talk to sickness, they can talk to that. But the funny thing about it is they all die anyway. And so what we do is this. In looking at this verse, notice, first of all, there's an answer to whatever prayers they present to God in verse number 7. But second of all, if you read on down, it's going to be for his glory. And then it's also going to be a clear to everybody else, a witness to God and a witness that we are his disciples. Now, the Bible says that if we abide in him and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Now, when we talk about abiding in him, keep your finger there a moment. Go, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 14, chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? He will hear us. Now, notice verse 7, going back to John chapter 15. Verse 7 don't say, just ask what you want to and God's going to give it to you. How many of you have ever asked God for something you didn't get? How many of you have done it more than once? Well, what's wrong? Well, there's a little bit more to this than just asking God. And there's this idea that a lot of them push is that they can just ask God and they run to this verse and they claim this verse. And all they got to do is claim God, and God cannot not answer their prayer because he said he would. But they're missing two aspects of it. Notice back, if you would, in verse 7 again. That if you abide in me and my words, what? Abiding you. Now, James chapter 4, verse 3 tells us that sometimes we ask amiss. That means we ask for our own selfish reasons, for the flesh. So the conditions must be met to gain the promise that whatsoever we ask of God, we'll receive. So let's look at just a few moments and think about this just a minute. Number one, the first condition is if you abide in me, we have to maintain that communion with Christ Jesus. And the second thing is, my words abide in you. Not only will our heart be occupied with Christ, but we also will let Scripture be hid in our heart, that we allow Scripture to mold our life. That's what Brother Eric's been teaching on Sunday morning. When we get in his commandments, when we allow Jesus to abide, we abide in Jesus and his words to abide in us, his commandments are not grievous anymore. Now, how can that be? Now, think about this a moment, and I'm going to try to bring it out without losing you somewhere along the way. Now, we will have fruits, and there'll be different types of fruits. But now, think about this just a moment. Turn with me, if you would, in Galatians chapter 5, before I get very much farther, and then I'll bring it to a close here in a little bit. Now hold me to the words in a little bit, okay? You say, what's a little bit? There was a joke one time said that a man asked God for $1 million. And God told him, said, you know, $1 million is like a penny up in heaven. He said, well, can I have $1 million? He said, well, did you know that a minute is like 1,000 years in heaven? He said, well, can I have $1 million? He said, in a minute. Look, if you would, chapter 5. Notice if you would, in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now let's talk a little bit about what this fruit is that we get. Now notice, if you would, first of all, that after he says in verse 7, he follows up and he says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath what? Loved me, in verse 9 of chapter 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I what? Love you and continue what? Now look here. The fruit that you have from Christ is this. When you abide in Christ, and yes, you need to be praying, you need to be reading Bible, studying. But the fruit, first of all, is the first fruit that he missed. He said, it'll be evident because you'll have a love. There will be the supernatural love of God. It will not be a grievous love. I have preachers come through sometimes and say, you know, preacher, your people in your church seem like they love one another. I said, that's exactly what they should. You know, the Bible says charity covers a multitude of sins. Somebody said, well, that one over there, this one over there. Who are you? We all are what we are by the grace of God. But now look here. The fruit that you will begin showing, and when you abide in Christ, the fruit that will come to you will be the fruit of the Spirit. First, there'll be a love that will show. It'll be something that you love. The Bible says, greater love is no man. And he goes on, talks about that he gave his life, laid down his life for his friends. Now, think about this a moment. There's a love for us that we give. Charity. We give. We love. And so what happens is when we abide in him, we bear fruit. As we continue abiding in him, we bear more love. As we continue abiding in him, and as we get older, we bear much love. Now look here. I'm going to pick on you, okay? Brother Junior needs to be picked on tonight. And if I get tired of picking on him, I'll pick on Cliff over there. But look here. If it's just going around winning souls, what if Brother Junior gets to the point where he can't go no more? Is he going to be disappointed because he can no longer bear fruit? Listen. This guy, what he does is he loves people. He loves these young people. I know because he talks to me about him all the time. He wants to do something for him. He loves the church. He wants to see what he can. He loves each of you. I don't say that to boast on him, but what I'm saying is he might get to the point where he's in bed and can't get out and go anywhere. But he can still bear fruit through his love. There's been times I went to at the bedside of an old saint of God, And man, did I witness some fruit. And did I gain something from being there? And I got a touch of what the Lord was like. Because what they were doing was abiding in Him. And as they continued to abide in Him, more fruit will be. No, did you notice how much He begins to talk about love? Look back in your Bibles a moment. Notice from verse number 9. He goes and he says, as a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I'll continue in my love. If you keep my commandments and ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, notice here that the first thing he begins to share with us is the love of God. And the love of God is unchanging. Listen. If Brother Junior failed me, that doesn't change, that should not change my love for him. And sometimes we allow flesh to get in that. But look here. Sometimes we fail God and he doesn't change his love for us. His love is unchanging. His love is forever, everlasting. I mean, he loves us so much. He loves his disciples so much, he calls them friends. And as James reminds us, Abraham was a friend of God. And you know what God did with his friends? He brought them in such communion that he revealed what he was going to do and things on his mind. You know what God has done to us? And the closer we get to him, the more things he reveals to us what's going on, what he's going to do. He lets us understand. Therefore, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be afraid. He's still in control. He still sits upon the throne. He's done told us how it's all going to end. But he's revealed, and there's a lot of people who think they're really smart that don't have a clue what's going on. And they don't have a clue what's going to happen to them. I listened to some intellectual guy. He got where he was walking around with tractor and trailers. One of them about cut him off the road, and he's riding a motorcycle. So he's just went around and started killing people that drove tractor and trailers. He's on death row, and this is what he said. I believe we're I can't think of the word right now, but residue, whatever, but that we're just going to go back to the rot and go back to the ground. And the reporter said, well, do you believe in heaven and hell? Nah, I don't believe in none of that. And he claimed to have such intellect. He was a doctor in something, and I thought, you fool. But now look here. So part of the fruit that we have is love. Notice if you would in verse 11. Then he talks about the next fruit. The next one on the list. What was that? Joy. Now notice it's a twofold joy. My joy. Now if you notice here, when he talks about my joy, keep your finger there and look if you would in chapter 17 real quickly. In chapter 17, look in verse 13. He said, now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have what? My joy fulfilled where? Now notice if you would back in 11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy, these things are the things right before this, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. For the joy that was set before him, remember Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? Now look here. Of course, we know that joy doesn't depend upon circumstances. It's not happiness. It's an inner joy. As we abide more in Christ, that fruit begins to come out. We don't walk around, oh me, oh my, oh me, oh my. I'm miserable. Life's terrible. What kind of witness is that? What kind of fruit is that? Is that going to draw someone to Christ? And so what we do is we have an inner fruit of his joy. And even though Christ suffered, even when he went to the cross, he suffered, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We have to go through some things and endure those things, but we can still have joy. Remember Paul and Silas in prison? There wasn't nothing glorious about prison, but they had the inner joy. You know why? They abided in him. And you know why they could pray things to God and God would do things? Because they abided in him and they allowed his word to abide in them. And guess what happened when they prayed? God gave them what they asked for. And so therefore, what happens is they had those fruits. Now, look in chapter 14, verse 27. Again, we find twofold peace. He said, my peace. And our peace comes from his peace. In verse number 7, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. So therefore, we get peace. Now, also, when we allow the word to abide in us, we allow the word to direct our souls, and we allow outflow from inward, allowing the word to speak to us. Now let me say this. Someone who never spends time with Christ, someone who never spends time in the word, letting the word of God speak to them, taking the word of God and hiding it in their souls, they rob themselves of fruit and does not bear fruit. They do not have peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable, love that passes all understanding, and on and on and on. Those are fruits of Christ. That when you abide in him and you get that close fellowship with him, they begin to come through the vine, through the branches, and people are attracted. And as you share things and share the word of God, people are attracted. And you bear fruit from within. And it also allows you to be able to share fruit that's on the outside, but they are drawn by what comes from the inward. Now let me show you a difference. Those false prophets, they draw their fruit from the outside. Miracles, signs, wonders, casting out devils, prophesying, all these things. Money, 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 get rich, get rich, get rich. You know what they do? They attract them from the outside. That's what the devil does. The devil attracts you with all those things of the world. And that's what they do. So therefore, when I look at them, somebody said, aren't you afraid when you talk about them and you accuse them of being false prophets? Absolutely not. You know why I can declare it? By their fruits. Their fruits all come from the outside. And they always have one cause, to make this guy elevate him. They exalt him. They don't exalt Jesus. They exalt him and make him rich. But these fruits, real fruit, comes from within. You want to bear fruit? Abide with Christ. And Deborah, the longer you bear fruit and longer you abide, you will go on, you'll begin to bear more fruit. When somebody gets saved, somebody says, well, I want to bear fruit. You might bear some, but you're not ready because people's got to see it for a while. And that consistency, that bearing fruit. Then as you get older and people are drawn. We had someone call us this week, a friend of ours in Ohio. And she called and she said, I need to be saved. What do I do? We get a chance to be with her some and spend some time with her. And Chris said, I was pleased that she called and she asked what to do to be saved. I said, that's bearing fruit. They see something that they say, hey, they got something that we don't have. We need some of that. And so I talked to her a little bit and spent some time. Won't you pray for her? But the point I'm trying to get to you is this. This fruit. Some people say, well, I won 15 souls to the Lord. No one said, well, I went and won 20 this morning. You're in a contest. Don't be in a contest. Fruit comes when those attributes of Jesus is worked with the Holy Spirit out from the vine into the branches. And it gets out of the branches and it begins to bear fruit. Because people begin to take notice of those things. And they begin to realize there's something missing in their lives. And they are drawn. When they came to Jesus and said, Lord, we know that thou art Son of God. No man can do these things except he be sent of God. No man ever spake like that before. And see, the wonderful thing about preaching is it's not our word. The power is in his word. And therefore we use these fruits to hopefully bear more fruit. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. You know, the funny thing about it is, the old devil, people who's drawing inquiries about getting saved, he'll try to convince them that if they get saved, they've got to live all these strict commandments, they got to do this, and he'll try his best to fear them off from that. But when someone gets saved, then he comes to them, and he tries to get them to believe just the opposite. That you're saved, now you don't have to do nothing else. When we don't love his word, love his commandments, and follow his commandments, as we've been learning, then we miss out and we are unable to abide in him, and his words abide in us. Amen. Let's sing.
I can hear my Savior call.